You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Congress overrode the first veto in President Bush's seven-year presidency. The Senate voted 79-14 today to pass the $23 billion water resources bill. President Bush had criticized it for containing unnecessary projects, but Congress supported the bill, which provides local communities with money for dams, sewage plants, and beach restoration. The state of California is suing the federal government over auto emissions. The suit against the EPA will force a decision about whether California can go ahead and impose gas emission standards for vehicles. If California is granted the waiver, about a dozen other states are expected to follow. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said today the House will vote on a $50 billion war funding bill as soon as Friday. The amount is about a quarter of what President Bush has requested for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The bill would also require the president to start bringing troops home immediately and end combat by December 2008. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is in Japan today. He urged the country to play a larger role in international security. In Pakistan, President General Pervez Musharraf said that parliamentary elections will take place in mid-February. That is about a month later than planned. Former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto urged Musharraf to step down as head of the military, something President Bush has also urged him to do. The former Soviet Republic of Georgia remains under a state of emergency. Its president said today elections will be moved ahead to January 5th of next year to, quote, receive the trust of the people, end quote. In northern Italy today, a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed. Four people on board were killed and six were injured. The helicopter had taken off from the U.S. Air Force base in Aviano. In Dubai, a bridge under construction collapsed. Seven workers were killed and 15 were injured, according to authorities. A container ship struck one of the Bay Bridge towers yesterday and spilled 58,000 gallons of oil into San Francisco Bay. The accident occurred in heavy fog. Several beaches are now closed and wildlife is threatened. Authorities are working on cleaning up the spilled oil. In the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll in a head-to-head matchup, Senator Hillary Clinton gets 46% and New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani 45%. This is QNN.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
Global positioning systems have detected that Yellowstone Park is rising about 3 inches a year. Tomorrow's Journal Science reports the movement is a natural cycle because Yellowstone sits on top of a supervolcano's crater where magma ebbs and flows beneath. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke spoke to a congressional committee today and said that in the coming months, business growth will noticeably slow down. He cited the housing slump as a reason. However, he did not indicate that the central bank is ready to cut interest rates even more. Many U.S. retailers reported disappointing sales in October. A retail analyst explained that milder than normal weather has decreased consumers' interest in winter apparel. Movie rental chain Blockbuster, the largest in the U.S., will test a new pricing format for its rentals. It will also change some of the store layout and sell more promotional product tie-ins such as toys and beverages. Ford Motor reports it lost $380 million in its third quarter. Gold is trading at $837.50 an ounce.
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show that never ends. There's a song lyric. I got to write this. I think it's already been done. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, wasn't it? 6 minutes after the hour, this is Head On for a Thursday evening. And there are we have a wide range of topics available to us this evening. Should you care to jump in, share something that maybe I missed along the way, feel free. It's conversation radio, for heaven's sakes. And I don't want to be... let's just get this over with at the front end of the program. We're up to $350 now. $350 of the $2,000 we need to raise on a monthly basis to keep the lights on here at the Horn. And in addition, I'll tell you, I'm quite excited. I've got another little project for the weekend. My 7-day work week continues, and as does the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation host, Peter Godbold. His 7-day work week continues as well, because the two of us will be engaged over the next couple of weekends in building the perfect beast computer for the Horn. All those parts arrive today, and they have to be paid for pretty quickly, or we're going to get hammered with a bunch of interest. And it's not just like, oh, look, it's 5%. No, 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 no. This is one of those 90 days, same as cash, or, you know, you pay through the nose type of affairs. Let's get that out of the way as quickly as we humanly possibly can, please. So, you know, there's that. Oh, but this is going to be a whale of a beast. Peter assures me that we're building something that can really support the future and the expansion of the Horn as we go. So we're at $350. That leaves us $1,650 to go. It is the 8th day of November. We're behind schedule. So, you know, I know the holidays are coming up, and this scares me to death, because I know how tight things get at the holidays, and I know what the holiday angst does to people, and how what we tend to do to ourselves, our financial well-being, things like that. So I'm nervous. I'll be honest. I am. So please, that's all I can say is please. We're way behind. We should be at $500 or more by now. We're not. And apparently it's another month when all of us, me, Mark, John, Dr. Bill, Peter, Agnes, Wayne, we'll all just sweat all the way to the end of the month and hope there's enough to keep going. So, you know, that's... Okay, that's out of the way, and I don't have to talk about it anymore. Although I did read an article today about Rex Humbard and his passing not too long back. It's just amazing. If I would only promise you that you will go, that if you'll contribute to keeping the Horn on the air, that you will go to somewhere wonderful when you die, we wouldn't be doing pitches like this. We'd be measuring it in millions. What's the old Joe Hill song? Live on hay day by day. There'll be pie in the sky when you die. I want to mention something right off the bat. Well, no, okay, I'm going to help me stay on track. Mark was doing a little talking about Dennis Kucinich in the last hour.
And Alan called in and raised some very good points about media exposure. Now, the other night, it was Tuesday, and it was after the privileged resolution was entered in the House of Representatives regarding Richard B. Dick Cheney. Keith Olbermann gave some rather favorable press time or TV time or whatever to Congressman Kucinich, the bravest man in the House of Representatives. And that's the kind of thing that we need. But Mark said something that it's something that troubles me. And I'd like to have a definition, if I could, please. And Mark is busy now, so I guess he, you know, I mean, we've been doing a lot of Thursday back and forth lately, but he said, I don't think America is ready for Dennis Kucinich's far-left positions, or something like that. Now, when I hear far-left positions, I think of things like the dictatorship of the proletariat. I think of the nationalizing of industries. I think of, arguably, some of the things that are going on in Hugo Chavez's Venezuela, whether you agree or disagree with him. That, to me, is far left. And I'd like to, I really want to know where this notion of Dennis Kucinich as far left member of Congress comes from. He certainly doesn't represent a district in Ohio that could be considered to be far left, does he? I don't see that. He talks about wanting national single-payer health care in which insurance companies are no longer allowed to profit from the illness of Americans. Why, that's H.R. 676, and it's not his bill. It's John Conyers's. He wants to bring the troops home now. That's not far left. He wants to see first to the well-being of the American middle class. How is that far left? I mean, I could understand it if he was standing up singing the Internationale everywhere he goes and waving a red banner and talking about the workers of the world unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains. I know the rhetoric. I don't get where this Dennis Kucinich's far left business comes from, unless it's by comparison to, say, you know, Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, and former Senator Edwards, and Senator Biden, and Senator Dodd, and Governor Richardson. You see what I'm saying? This isn't about personal philosophy defining a political position. It is about a relative scale. Maybe that says more about me than it says about Congressman Kucinich. But I hear him talk, and I don't see some wild-eyed Marxist radical. I see someone who's talking plain, old-fashioned, garden-variety, FDR Democratic Party politics. Now, if you can straighten me up on this, I would sincerely appreciate it. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-5453. What does it mean when people say Dennis Kucinich is too far left? I honestly don't get it. And I do have things that I want to bring up, but someone is on hold right now, I think. Hey, who've I got?
Yeah.
Hey, Susan.
Okay. Here's the way I look at this question. Kucinich is not too far left. Kucinich is a centrist. Clinton, Obama, Edwards, they tend to the right. The people that we know, that we normally consider right wingers, they're just a bunch of freaks.
Yeah, that's what I mean about the relative scale.
And as far as I understand Mark's knee-jerk reaction, you know, he's too far left. I submit that Mark has been hit with the propaganda. They have been saying for decades, too far left, too far left, too far left, too far left. And then here comes Kucinich with basically common sense, just like you said. And the synapse in your brain goes, and it comes out too far left, when in fact it's just the opposite.
Well, then maybe Mark was correct, Susan, because he said the American people are too shallow to comprehend.
That I'll go with. Because these days, if you're not pretty, you don't get elected.
Now, but who's to say? You know, Congressman Kucinich doesn't have warts on the end of his nose, but I mean, we've had a lot of presidents that
pretty as in glamorous. That in a way, John F. Kennedy did this country a big, big disservice.
You mean by being? Yeah.
By looking and being what he was. If he'd have been a middle-aged, elderly man with the same ideas, I'm sure he would have gotten elected, but man, it...
But remember, he got elected over a very non-glamorous Richard Nixon, who turned around 8 years later and whipped the hide off of Hubert Humphrey, another non-glamorous man.
But Hubert Humphrey basically didn't have anything to run on. Got to remember, you know, Humphrey went around saying, what's good about America? You don't win elections that way.
Well, he was the default candidate after the assassination of Bobby Kennedy and the failure of Eugene McCarthy's campaign. But, you know, I don't see Senator Clinton as being glamorous by any stretch of the imagination.
Glamorous in that she's a Clinton.
Well,
the best Republican president we ever had.
I mean, I've seen Obama, you know, face to face. There's nothing glamorous there.
Obama
unless it's
has charisma. Obama has charisma.
Wow, you weren't in the same room I was. No offense, but you just so weren't in the same room I was.
He's got a
handshake like a dead fish.
I'm just going by what, I see. And by that speech he did at the Democratic Convention. He had charisma then.
That was a very charismatic speech. By the time he got to Charleston, West Virginia, and the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner of 2 years ago, which we carried live, all the charisma was gone. I mean, it was a real snooze fest.
Why do you think I'm not all that thrilled with Obama? Besides the fact that I don't like his politics, as far as I'm concerned, he is too far right.
You know that I sense something, and I'm guilty of it as much as anybody. And this is not a criticism of what you're saying, but it's easy to fall into the trap of criticizing our own candidates, and I don't necessarily want to do that. On the other hand, you know, Mark brought up this issue of, you know, Giuliani would just stomp him, and having had a little bit of contact with Congressman Kucinich, and heard him speak, the guy is a dynamic, fiery speaker, and you know, I can just imagine. Giuliani saying, you know, 9/11, you know, well, it's what Joe Biden said about him. Everything that Giuliani says is a noun, a verb, and 9/11.
Exactly.
Letting him try that in a debate with Dennis Kucinich, and just have Dennis standing there next to a life-size cutout of Rudy and Drag and saying, you know, Mayor, I supported legislation that protects people like you.
Yeah, to me, Kucinich has something a whole lot better than being tall or being glamorous looking. He's got a brain.
He's got integrity.
And the combination of the two, I agree with his wife. That combination is incredibly sexy. But unfortunately, most of the population in this country, they're more interested in Lindsay Lohan and Britney, and they want to see somebody who's pretty. Never mind the fact that he's a functional idiot like our dear current president.
Who, Giuliani?
Our current president.
Oh, I thought you. Okay, I thought you were comparing someone to the current resident of the White House.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's face it. Bush is a functional twit, or an idiot, or whatever you want to call it. He's a moron.
No, I think he suffers from organic brain syndrome. But you know, that's for better than
well,
I to diagnose.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. That plus all that coke he shoved up his nose. But you put somebody like that up against somebody with a functional brain and the ability to be just an incredible speaker like Kucinich is. Yeah. And the same with Giuliani. Like you said, Giuliani has one subject. He's got one note. Kucinich can play a symphony.
Yeah, and Giuliani looks like he was the stand-in for Nosferatu.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I agree with Mark in that I don't think Kucinich will be given the chance because the media has already gone into overdrive to make this man as marginalized as possible.
Well, and sure. And we come to a realization, I think, Susan, that the only way by which, and this was the nature of my inquiry, the only way by which we define far left in regard to Dennis Kucinich is by recognizing that everybody else, Republican or Democrat, is far right.
Exactly.
And I think the corollary to what Mark said is the United States is not ready to return to a centrist governance. The United States is mired in right-wing filth, and only right-wing filth is going to succeed.
Although there was a poll that I heard about a couple weeks ago. It said that America in general, especially the younger generation, and this just probably Ross, she's big time, are turning more and more and more liberal. The backlash has started big.
Isn't that always something that you see out of don't you always see that though with the younger generation? Don't they become more conservative once they grow up and start having to go to jobs and pay bills? And no, you didn't, and I didn't. But a lot do.
A lot did, yeah. But the thing is, the people who are going to be coming of age to vote, They are trending very, very liberal. And to me, that's a hopeful sign because these are people who have grown up in that stultifying atmosphere of the far right wing, especially in a lot of cases, the far right wing fundies. And what's the first thing a kid does who's been homeschooled all his life and been allowed to do nothing but go to church and so on and so forth? What's the first thing he does other than getting drunk when he's out on his own?
Say.
He makes sure he never, ever goes back to that church again.
Well, true. So, you know, maybe there's some hope 20 years down the road. The problem is we got to have help right now.
Yeah.
20 years down the road, you know who's going to be running for president if things go according to the family plan? It'll be George P. Bush, son of Jebby, or maybe the Bush that's the son of Neil.
Jebby, he's the one that can't stay sober.
None of them can stay sober. You can tell the difference?
Yeah, I know, but this guy's been convicted, hasn't he? He had so many drug busts. Ridiculous.
No. This is the kid who took a car and got busted for doing donuts in the yard in like some broke up girlfriend's yard or some such. You're thinking about Neil's son, and he was busted drunk out of his skull in Austin.
Okay.
But Pappy Bush said the other day that he sees great hope for coming generations of Bushes to be able to get their front feet in the trough, too.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, this is just an opinion. But by the time dear George gets out of office, he will be put in the same category as the first Mad King George, and the name Bush is going to go down in history just about equal with the name Mud.
And it will, but it will be his name.
Yeah.
It will be his name. That will not preclude Jebby from coming along. I saw a clip with Keith Olbermann having Rachel Maddow on his show. And she's still predicting that somehow or another we're going to get Jebby hustled off onto us as the Republican nominee.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I don't put it past him to try it, but in the mood of this country, he'd have to be protected from the mobs, especially when the economy crashes like it's gonna.
Well, wait a minute, Susan. Think about the dynamic in that family. This is a family that goes after each other tooth and toenail over a croquet match. Okay.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And I don't think Jebby would hesitate for a minute to say, yeah, well, that was my baby, that was my brother, but, you know, I'm the smart one.
As far as I'm concerned, his name is Bush, and to me, that's the same as Mud.
And the thing is, that's you, and that's me, and that's normal people, but we're not but we are by definition not talking about that 20% of America that Mark describes as swinging the American election. You know, the people that spend their time, I don't know, rinsing toenail clippings.
Yeah,
and then go to the election booth every 4 years and go, I'll vote for him. I recognize his name.
Yeah, that's going to be a big problem. In a way, Clinton has that same name recognition. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's going to get the nomination, because people are going to go in and say, oh, Clinton, Democrat, cool, and vote for her.
And I come back around to the fact that on any given day, at any given time, Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, Senator Dodd, Senator Biden, Governor Richardson, or Dennis Kucinich are all miles better than anything the Republicans put up there, especially when you consider Supreme Court appointments.
As it stands now, a corpse would be better.
Yeah, except the corpse would have a hard time appointing justices to the Supreme Court.
I'm not advocating killing anybody, Agent Fred. I'm just saying, if we ran a body, they would be more qualified than these people.
Yeah, well, we could do the ancient Roman thing and introduce a horse, like Caligula did in the Senate, you know, Senator Incitatus.
Yeah.
But the political reality is that any one of those living, breathing human beings is better than anything the Republicans have to offer.
Oh, yeah.
And so while Senator Obama waffling on things like liquid coal causes me extreme consternation.
Yeah, you need that.
Senator Clinton saying, you know, we may need to have troops in Iraq for 50 years, just like Korea, just makes me
cringe.
Yeah, okay, that'll do. It's all infinitely better than anything, be it Giuliani or Governor Sacred Underwear Dog on the Car or John McCain or any of those creeps can ever offer. So there's no doubt in my mind, Susan, that in November of 2008, I'm going to push the little button, beside some Democrat's name.
I will probably be holding my nose when I do it, but I'm going to do it.
I would not have to. There are three people with whom I would not have to hold my nose.
Who's that?
Dennis Kucinich, Al Gore, and to a certain extent, John Edwards.
That's just about the same list I have. But you know, even I don't care if it's Clinton. I don't care if it's Todd. I just, as long as they have a D after their name, I'm going to hold my nose and vote. And that's the way it's going to be. However, that's the general election. For the primary, I'm going to, by God, vote.
Yeah.
What I think is right.
Darn straight. You know, you'll be interested to know, I just saw this right before the program started, Susan. For a week now, we've been talking about that clause in Georgia's More War Now extra money request that's in the Congress. And we were talking about the $87 million for retrofitting B-2 stealth bombers to carry a 30,000-pound yep. MOP, massive ordnance penetrator bomb.
Right.
And, you know, nobody talking about it on Fox, nobody talking about it on CNN, anywhere else on the electronic media, not a word. You know, it's all crickets. Dateline Washington, D.C., in debate on defense spending on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives today, Congressman Dennis Kucinich warned against a bunker buster bombing of Iranian nuclear research labs. Quote, it has been well reported that there is a provision in this bill that will enable the modification of B-2 stealth bombers so that they can drop what is called a bunker buster or massive ordnance penetrator that would destroy deep underground targets. Defense analysts have suggested that there is one reason and one reason only why this request was expedited by the administration, and that is to retrofit those B-2 bombers so that they'll be able to drop 30,000-pound bombs on Iranian nuclear research facilities. We cannot approve the Department of Defense Appropriations Conference report without thinking about the consequences of the administration's approach. If 30,000-pound bombs, bunker busters, are dropped on nuclear research labs, the release of radiation would create a humanitarian and ecological disaster. This is a war crime in motion. Dropping the bunker busters would have human health effects that could be catastrophic. Congress needs to think about the implications. Congress needs to oppose a strike in Iran. Diplomacy is the preferred path. That is why I am opposing this conference report today.
God bless, Dennis. I got to tell you, the United States and the world is missing a phenomenal president when Kucinich will not be elected. And it's a tragedy because he would go down probably with great after his name.
Well, he's rolling. He is rolling up numbers in New Hampshire. He's spending a lot of time there, and he has moved into fourth or third place there. So, you know, the first vote hasn't been cast yet. So maybe we do ourselves a disservice by saying that he can't and he won't.
Well, I plan on voting for him in the primaries. I'm going to keep on pushing him. I don't care what anybody says, right up until the day somebody is nominated. And then everything cuts off. And then I go, okay, fine, here's our nominee. They have my support.
And you know what I find interesting? In 2004, Dennis Kucinich stayed in the race all the way to the end. I don't expect him to do any different this time through.
A lot more than.
And when the Bidens and the Dodds and the Richardsons have dropped away, and it's down to Dennis Kucinich standing on a stage with Senators Clinton and Obama, and maybe Edwards, then we'll have some real discussions. Because then they won't be able to shove him off to the far end of the camera angle and pretend that he's not there.
Or crop him out of the picture.
Exactly.
And I sincerely hope, I honestly can't decide whether or not whoever it is that the nominee is should consider Dennis as part of their cabinet, or if Dennis would be more effective where he is because right now he's got a whole lot of seniority in that Congress.
Not that much, really.
No?
No.
I thought he did.
No, not that much. I think he would be good. He would be good in a Secretary of Labor, a Secretary of State.
Hell yes.
But far more as the President of the United States. Susan, I've enjoyed it. I've got another blinking light here. I hate to keep people on hold, especially if it's their own nickel.
Yeah, love to Agnes.
All right. Hate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And let's see. Who have I got?
Juanita.
Hey, Juanita. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing good.
I could talk about almost anything that you've been talking about, but I would like to bring up something that I saw last night I've never seen before.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a sign of things to come or if it's been going on for a while, but we went over around about, 6 o'clock. It's getting dark here now, about then, and to Hungry Howie's for their Wednesday special.
Mm-hmm.
And this neighborhood we went to is kind of like used to be all white, now there's some blacks there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I looked and around the corner I saw this huge German Shepherd coming up, and then these two huge guys dressed in officer uniforms, like police, or we're in the county's sheriff or whatever.
Right.
We're with that dog. Now, I've never seen that before. I've seen them in the cars, they take them, but not walking around, just walking around. It just came around the building. And I said, we better get out of here. There's nothing to tell them what they're going to do.
That's a little bit, did it creep you out like you describing it just creeped me out?
Uh-huh. I thought, Blackwater.
Well, and working with the dogs, too.
They were walking. They weren't in a vehicle.
No, they were working a beat, I guess.
But I've never seen, usually they drive around and let the dogs out. They're very careful with the dogs. But this is like, they just came out of nowhere.
Was it it was on a lead, though, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
But there were children going in and out, too, if it got loose or something. But just the idea of them being like that, and they were big guys. They were real big.
Oh, yeah. That's not at all surprising. We talk about steroid abuse in sports.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just in sports. These guys sit and work out and get pumped up, and they shave their heads like skinheads.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? There's a little help going on there too.
Yeah, I just really believe we've got a Republican sheriff too, but we are in a heavy drug area, and but I've never seen that before. I've never seen it because
Juanita, expect to see it more.
Yeah. I just believe that's what it was myself. Another thing I'd like to talk about is, you were talking about Jeb's children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sad to say the girl is a crackhead,
Yeah, Noelle.
Yeah, that's you can't make fun of anybody's children for something like that or anything, because that happens to so many people. It's not necessarily the way you're raised, I don't think.
But it's not making fun of them, Juanita, to point out that she got preferential treatment.
Oh, yeah, she definitely did.
There are young women just like her all over Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Who have been or are going or are in prison.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, anyway, then the oldest one, about that, about what he did. And if the people hadn't have, if they had a press charge, he'd be a felon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the baby brother, first thing I know about him being caught, he was having sex in a public parking lot up in Tallahassee when his dad was governor.
Well, that's what we've come to expect from the Bush family.
He also was charged with drunk. He was belligerent out in Texas somewhere.
Well, that's Neil's kid was drunk and disorderly at the University of Texas in Austin, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was Jeb's.
Well, could very well be so. Didn't he have the? Wasn't he the one that had the prostitutes come to his room? They just came and he wasn't going to say no.
Yeah, that was Neil. You know, you go to your room in a hotel in Thailand and you shut the door, and the next thing you know, there's prostitutes crawling all over.
You weren't about to turn it down.
Well, no. I mean, that would have been rude. I mean, you never know with a foreign culture, that might have been extremely insensitive. So he had to have sex with the prostitutes and get the social disease.
Right. Well, I'll tell you. But you know, I was so proud of Percentage. He's a brazen little guy. You know, he's amazing to me. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, don't you think he is? I mean, because if he says something, he means it.
Yeah, and he will tell you what he thinks, no matter what.
Right.
He's not trying to figure out what you want to hear first.
No. No, it's what he truly believes in. And, you know, they ask him the most stupid questions, and it's like they're making fun of him, you know, asking these stupid questions when he's in the debates that they don't necessarily ask the others. Like, I think the last one I heard about was, had he seen a UFO? Well, just about everybody's seen a UFO. You don't know if it's from outer space, but...
Ronald Reagan saw two.
Oh. But they just thought that was so funny that he would say that. And then, you know, some woman was interviewing him and his wife, and all she could ask her about was she had a...
Yeah, that was Hannah Storm. Hannah Storm on CBS. What a moron she is.
Yeah. And, but it's like they're just mocking and making fun of him, you know, and they did it last time, too, the last time he run for president. I noticed that.
Well, that's why I was proud of Keith Olbermann. He sat there and he covered the story of Dennis Kucinich and talked about what Kucinich said on the floor of the House, and never once UFO, nothing about his height, nothing about his hair, nothing about his wife, nothing about her tongue. It was strictly business. And frankly, that's the one thing that Dennis Kucinich deserves.
Yes, he does. He certainly does. And you know... Guy was talking about all the private jets and all a lot of the evangelists have. I was thinking about, of course, he's not an evangelist, but is there a little guy, John Dean? Not John Dean. What's his name?
Colson?
Howard.
Howard Dean. Howard Dean.
I forget. Howard Dean. You know, he goes. He doesn't go first class when he flies, and he rides the subway up in New York, and he said one time somebody said, "Aren't you Howard Dean?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what are you doing on the subway?" He said, "I'm getting to where I'm going." He's just so down to earth.
Yeah.
And I love people like that. And anyway, I'm with you about, of course, Al Gore's my number one. But
Juanita, he's not running, and I know there's people out there going, oh, please, please, there's still time. It's kind of this. Al Gore is not going to run for president for a variety of very, very good reasons.
Probably the dirtiness for one thing.
Well, there's that, and he also, you know, he was pretty close to the presidency. He was one heartbeat away for 8 years, and he saw how Bill Clinton struggled to just get basic stuff done.
Oh, yeah, well, see, when I come at it from a Southern point of view, and I'm sure you do too, is like he went in, you know, some people in the South, you know, him, you know, and when a lot of our Democrats didn't go up, didn't try to help him, but tried to work against him, because a lot of people down here very vocally, you know, didn't like Clinton.
Crazy people. Crazy people, yeah.
And they've just been saying all kinds of stuff about him. And so, you know, the thing that really got him going was when they shut down the government. They thought that was going to mess him up. And instead, he got more popular.
They tried everything to destroy him.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, yes. And you know the press conferences he would have. It didn't matter who it is. They would ask him about Monica.
Sure.
It didn't matter who he was with. And then you had Jerry Falwell, you know, that, what's his name, that millionaire, paid for that movie.
Oh, sure.
And they're all, murdered all these people. And
yeah, the Clinton Chronicles. Oh, my God, I remember that.
Oh, my gosh. Claimed that he was a drug runner. Well, he had his brother. His brother got in trouble because he wanted him to get off drugs. And he's the one that had him arrested.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, because he loved him enough to want to have him. You know, that's real love.
True, true.
But, anyway.
Well, don't get within muzzle's reach of those the German shepherds, Juanita.
Oh, I know.
That ain't Fluffy. That's not Fido.
No, No, when I saw what was behind that German Shepherd, I said, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's getting to be a creepy country we live in.
Uh-huh, it really is. Sad to say.
Well, I hear some hammering and banging going on in the background. I hope the repairs are going well.
Well, we're hanging in. They gave us till January now because of the holidays, so
right.
That helps a little.
So, well, every little bit counts, too. Juanita, yeah, you take care. So good to hear from you.
You, too. And thank you so much for giving me time to talk with you.
All the time you ever want, Juanita.
You're great. You're a great guy.
Well, thank you kindly.
You're another one like Dennis.
Well, bless your heart. That's high praise. Take care now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And let's see who's here. Hey, who've I got?
You got Sarge in Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, hey, Sarge. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I heard you talking about Kucinich, and I've got to put in a plug for Mr. Kucinich myself. Since I've been out here in Phoenix, I've been able to work real close with Mr. Kucinich, and a finer man you're going to have a tougher time finding. He is giving me private numbers. He's got a real interest in what I'm working on, and he's really a super guy. Now, his campaign, you know, people say he's unelectable. Well, let me clear something up on that. Yesterday, he hired four new people to handle his schedule because he's in such demand. So, this electability crash, throw it out the window. It doesn't exist.
But you know what says the most to me about that, Sarge? The debate that was sponsored by the AFL-CIO at Soldier Field in Chicago. And,
yeah. You
know, one candidate after another would get up and you know, talk some sort of toast centrist or right wing, whatever. And the assembled audience would, you know, sort of, you know, that little golf clap by the side of the green on the 18th hole.
Yeah. Well, you know,
Dennis gets up on the other hand, Sarge, and speaks absolute unvarnished truth to that crowd. And they came to their feet screaming his name.
Exactly, and that's what the people are wanting to hear. They're tired of the name-calling and he went to the bathroom and had some kind of weird thing going on. You know, I mean, people are tired of that. What they want to hear is we got serious problems. Let's have serious answers to these problems, and Kucinich is offering those. People keep talking about this freak Ron Paul. Ron Paul is not going to solve the problems.
No, Ron Paul is the problem. He's
right.
Part of the problem.
And, you know, you look at his record. His record speaks for itself. He's not the man. He wants to be. He's a Kucinich wannabe. He is nothing like Kucinich. And people keep trying to say, well, he's the Kucinich of the Republican Party. No, there is no Kucinich in the Republican Party.
That is well-spoken truth, Sarge. No doubt about it.
And I just, you know, and we've got problems. We've got, you know, the Katrina area. We've got the mining problems out here in Arizona and the water problems in the southeast, mountaintop removal in your area, which we're going to talk more about Sunday. But
that's right.
You know, there's so... I'm sorry.
I said that's right.
That's right. And, you know, I'm looking forward to Larry Gibson because I think he's going to be really exciting, and of course, you'll be on too. But I just really think I'm going to plug the show.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern, you stream it on the KPHX, 1480KPHX.com site or the NovemRadio.com site. We'll have you and Larry Gibson on Mountaintop Removal. Very important show. Very important show. But I'm really looking forward to it. And
You're going to love talking with Larry. You are just going to love talking with Larry.
You know, I've had a chance to talk to him several times pre-interviews, and he's a man that has a statement, and he puts his body where his mouth is, because he told me he had been arrested 5 times in one day simply for putting up Noble Mountaintop Removal signs, which is weird, isn't it? You know,
it is sort of empirically weird, Sarge, but not where Larry is. It's not weird at all. Because one of the things we talked about on this program a little bit toward the end of the show last night is the fact that here in West Virginia, people who want clean drinking water and clean air, who want to have an environment that's safe for their children to go to school in, who don't want their houses, their cars, their very bodies covered in coal filth, who don't want to live downstream from 2 billion gallons of cancer-causing carcinogenic coal sleaze filth liquid goo, those people have no representation in this state, Sarge. They just don't.
Yeah. Well, that's like here. We've got this thing called chemtrails, and the area here is so has these certain periods of time when it actually holds the chemicals from these chemtrails even more into our air, and people's respiratory problems are increasing dramatically. And yet they're even trying to say, well, there's no such thing, you know. There's no such thing as global warming. There's no such thing as, what, Iraq? I mean, Jesus, what's next, man?
There's no such thing as Iran either.
Yeah, right. Unless we bomb them. You know, then all of a sudden, well, they're the bad guys anyway. So, you know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, that's my... radios like networks like Horn and Nugrium, we're important because that's about the only place you're going to hear these stories. And so I think folks, support the Horn, support Nugrium. We really need it.
Indeed.
I'll let you go. I appreciate you giving me the airtime, and I look forward to Sunday.
10 o'clock Sunday, Eastern Time. That's 7 o'clock. Is that 7 or what your time?
It's 8 o'clock my time.
8 o'clock, okay.
While the rest of the country's playing around with their clocks, we just realize it gets dark at night.
Yeah.
We don't have to change our clocks. But. I'm a little joking. But I sure appreciate it, Bob, and you keep up the good work. And folks, tune in because I'm really not because of me, not because of anything, but the fact that we got a message that has to get.
That's the truth. That's the truth, Sarge. And, you know, the KPHX folks are working, and the Nova M folks are working awful hard to keep the message getting out. And it's one of those little oases away from the filth and garbage of right-wing radio. The people in the Phoenix market are lucky to have it.
Something else that's kind of interesting. I found out Sunday after my show that we actually aired an earlier show was aired on a terrestrial station in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. So we have finally broke the thing where we've had a progressive talk show actually air in Mississippi.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Well, Sarge, you take care, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too, and thank you, Bob. We appreciate everything you do.
Oh, my pleasure. Sarge, take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Good friend Sarge out in Arizona. And, yeah, I'm going to be joining him on his program, 10 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock Phoenix time. And I'll be also, and far more than me, we'll be talking also with Larry Gibson. who is one of those people who is intensely passionate about bringing an end to the destruction of this state via mountain range removal. He's got a little family plot of ground that is a little green island in a vast thousands upon thousands of acres of nothing but destruction. And he has fought and raised a ruckus and stayed true to his own values and made, and you know, the things that have been done to try to run that family off that land. Well, Larry can talk a little bit about it, and I think you'll enjoy his words, because it's just straightforward truth, and I'm looking forward to hearing it too. I'm probably going to just sit there and be quiet and listen to Larry talk, because he's got a lot of truth to tell. Coming up in the next hour, a couple of different things. A story that still has me utterly just horrified. And you've probably already seen it, the latest toy scare. And this one's a real scare. This is as nasty as it's gotten. And the sad thing is, every time we say it's as nasty as it's gotten, that only means that something else is going to break that's even nastier. That and a little bit about the nurses' strike and what's going on to support them. The nurses' strike against Appalachian Regional Hospitals that's taking place in Kentucky and West Virginia. A lot of people are getting involved with that. A lot of people coming out to support those men and women because they know what they're up against and they know how important this fight is. And an email, got an email rolling in from our good friend Billy Shears, host of Night Sound, Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern here on the Horn. Billy says, you mentioned the future Bushes, but don't overlook Chelsea Clinton. Why not? I admit I'm not that familiar with her personal qualifications, but given the brilliance of her parents, she must be miles above any Bush, and if her mother advances to the White House, her chances increase immensely. Yeah, true. And Chelsea is, in fact, a beautiful, brilliant, well-spoken individual. The question is, and it's always a fair question to ask anyone that's younger than my generation, by the time that time comes, will we have so thoroughly poisoned the political process that only a fool would get involved with it? And I'm not trying to be a downer. It's a legitimate question. What are we doing to the political process via our own actions, inactions, by virtue of what we are willing to tolerate from politicians? What are we doing? And what kind of a future does that create? You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to listener-supported independent media. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. News is next.
Hush, hush, I thought I heard a call my name now. Hush, She took my heart, but I love her just the same. Hush. But I heard her calling my name. Now hush, hush. I need her loving, but I'm not to blame. Now I got a hurry in the morning, late in the evening.
This is the Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will vote on a $50 billion war funding bill as soon as tomorrow. The amount is about one-fourth the size President Bush has requested for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The legislation would also require the president to start bringing troops home immediately and end combat by December of 2008. In Pakistan, President General Pervez Musharraf said that parliamentary elections will take place in mid-February. That is about 1 month later than planned. Former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto urged Musharraf to step down as head of the military, something President Bush has also urged him to do. According to the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton leads in the race for the Democratic nomination with 47%. Illinois Senator Barack Obama has 25%, and former North Carolina Senator John Edwards is in third place with 11%. On the Republican side, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani is ahead with 33% support. Arizona Senator John McCain is a distant second with 16%. Right behind McCain is former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson in third place with 15%. In a head-to-head matchup, Clinton and Giuliani are in a statistical tie, she with 46% while he has 45%. In Manhattan, 17 people and a corporation have been indicted for a multi-year scam, allegedly selling 95,000 stolen credit card numbers and fake IDs on the Internet. Those arrested face 173 charges involving the theft of more than $4 million. In California, military police from the National Guard have been cleared of criminal charges after having been accused of stealing donations meant for victims of Southern California fires. An investigation showed the soldiers did take the items, but were invited to do so by relief workers. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport, 23 illegal immigrants arrested when an investigation revealed a contractor provided fake security badges, authorizing them to work in critical areas of three major airlines. Two company supervisors were also arrested. More than 100 warrants have been issued in connection with that case. In northern Italy, a U.S. Black Hawk copter crashed this morning. At least five of the 10 aboard have been killed. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Business and Science next.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
U.S. researchers say a nicotine-blocking vaccine actually helps some people quit smoking. 16% of those who got the strongest vaccine dose were able to quit smoking for 12 months. Of those who got a placebo, only 6% managed to kick the habit. Yellowstone Park is rising. The last couple of years, it's risen about 3 inches a year, faster than ever recorded. Tomorrow's journal, Science, are reporting the movement is a natural cycle because Yellowstone sits on top of a supervolcano's crater where magma ebbs and flows underneath. Many U.S. retailers reported disappointing sales in October. A retail analyst explained that milder than normal weather has decreased consumers' interest in winter apparel. Movie rental chain Blockbuster, the largest in the U.S., will test a new pricing format for its rentals. It will also change some of the store layout and sell more promotional product tie-ins, such as toys and beverages. Labor Department reporting that last week 317,000 applications for jobless benefits were filed. That is a decrease of 13,000 from the previous week. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 34 points to end at 13,266. NASDAQ down nearly 53 points. S&P 500 down 1 point. There's always more at our website on QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Around and around we go. Hour number two is upon us. And just checking the wires during the break. There's really no let-up to the obscenity that is the Bush administration. Holy cow. There's an oil deal in the works. Wait till you hear what the details of it are. I mean, even if it's a good idea, it's a bad idea. Because it's another case of poking the Arab world with a really, really sharp stick. And we will get into that presently. On the line right now, however, is our good friend Malin calling from New Jersey. Malin, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob. This story, which I heard this morning, was on my Comcast News, which was, I think, CNN. Part that section was that the government has been telling its inspectors that all the trailers that have been returned. And most of them have not been returned, but the ones that have been returned for inspection, they are not allowed to give a special order put on each one, is that they are not allowed to enter the trailer because it's a hazardous, like a waste.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Like with a skull and crossbones sort of thing with a, you know.
Yeah, it's a toxic site.
Yeah, toxic site. And then they showed these children who were in several of these were white children that were coughing, and they had asthma, and they had constantly pneumonia, and I really don't know what to say. I'm just so disgusted about the whole thing, how long it's taken, and I find it absolutely incredible. If I were called my cousin in Sweden, and he already knows, but if this were to happen in Europe, it wouldn't happen. This would not happen. These people would have a home by now. The government would have given them some place to live. This is unforgivable, what's going on. I know I sound melodramatic.
No, it's not melodramatic, please. It's not. The fact of the matter is, there are, 50,000 people still living in those toxic trailers, but Bush administration officials have decided that while they're not too poison for people to live in and get sick and stay sick and die in, they're entirely too dangerous for a FEMA official to set foot in. It's just another example of the hypocrisy.
I think their overall plan is, and I know we don't want to think of the Bush administration as doing anything terribly evil, but I think their main objective in this whole thing is to just let all these people die.
Yes.
In the long run, they will die.
Yes.
And that will become a Republican stronghold. And there's nothing really I can add to this except that I did see I did see that there are people still living in these places, and if you could just see, if I know you can go to these different pictures, and you can, I know you've probably seen them, but they're so depressing. And I know that if I were one of those people, I would be dead. I wouldn't be able to deal with it. And I don't know how many of us on the chat room would be able to deal with a situation as horrible as this. It's just beyond belief. I don't have anything more to say, but you get my gist of the hope.
I do. And
I know that Sarge keeps trying to tell everybody how bad it is, and I think until you can really see it in your own eyes, your own self, you can't really give the whole story. So I think I'll just let it go, Bob. And
thank you for bringing it up, Malin, because I had that in the list of stuff that I wanted to mention, and I'm glad that you caught it as well, because when you and others like you bring stories to the program, it means that to a probably far greater extent than I am, that others are paying attention to what's going on. If it got reported, and it probably fell completely off the radar thereafter. But these things don't happen in isolation, Malin. It's all part of the patchwork scheme of evil that just it permeates the Bush administration's poisoning of the federal government. This is of a set piece. This is along the same lines as the story we talked about the other night, where the head of the ICE men, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, gave first place to a guy in blackface at a Halloween party. It seems radically different. It seems like totally separate subjects, but they aren't, Malin. They're the same thing, because at its base level, it's evil.
They're all in the same mindset, basically, and it is so sad that we have just been neglectful in watching what goes on. Because I see friends of mine who I will say to them very simply when I see them in the store, "Oh, did you hear about something that may have happened today in Iraq or
yeah.
Pakistan?" Oh, they don't know. They don't even know who Ma Sharif or whatever the hell his name is. They don't know anything about it. So I guess Americans basically don't care. And you can talk to the cows come home, and I don't think they're going to listen to a thing we say, but I just keep trying anyway. Even with my mother, I keep trying.
You have to keep the discussion going, Malin. We absolutely do. When we're talking about thousands and thousands of our fellow Americans getting poisoned along the Gulf Coast, the next thing, we can be reminded that the Bush administration pledged all of $300,000 in international relief for an entire Mexican state that is underwater, such that it comes to about 37 cents.
That's worth like 38 cents per person or something.
37
like
cents a person.
And do you remember when, I know this is going back a ways, but when the terrible tsunami happened, that first terrible one about 2 years ago, whatever it was, was it around Christmas time? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, his first donation was 25, I think it was either $5 million or $10 million. And that is like, it's peanuts. They spend $20 million to build a high school around here nowadays. You know, what can you do with $20 million or $25 million? Let alone $300,000. I don't know what they do with that. Maybe they can buy them.
But again, it is a manifestation of deliberate indifference to the suffering of humanity, Malin. This is an administration that frankly doesn't care. You know, you were talking about, frankly, what is tantamount to genocide on the Gulf Coast. Well, it's the same thing it's the same level of indifference for people in Tabasco State in Mexico. They just don't care. You know, these aren't the people that they hobnob with. It's like that, you remember the soundbite from George Bush where he said, some people call you the rich and the super rich, I call you my base?
Yes.
Well, this is
it's
that.
It's disgusting to me.
It is disgusting.
It's disgusting to me, but to him it doesn't sound disgusting.
No, that's funny. That's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. That's because it's...
Poor people dying are a joke.
Yes.
Poor people sickened with disease.
I don't know, Bob, whether you listened to any of Mike Malloy's programs, but he did have someone who wrote a book on Bush on the couch.
Yeah, Dr. Frank.
And it's very scary if you happen to listen to that podcast where he interviewed him. And I would love to have you get him on there. I don't know his name, but he is, I mean... It just really makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck to hear that, what he says about Bush. And he's not so, he was asked the question, do you think, Malloy asked him the question, do you think he'll resign? Or will he let the transition go to a normal, change of, party? And he says, no, they have too much to lose, maybe. And, so, I think we better be prepared for the next American Revolution. That's the way he put it. So,
there are more and more people talking in those terms, Malin, and it scares me to death.
And I don't own a GUNN, but GUN. I guess we all should reconsider. I don't want to say anything more. I'm sure I'm on their list.
Oh, Agent Fred listens every night.
Yeah, I'm sure. I wanted to tell you, I had my telephone. You know, they come and check it every month. You ever see the truck come to your house, right? You see the, it's always an orange truck that comes here, and it says New Jersey Power, Power and Light or whatever. It was a black SUV. With white license plate, and the guy had a leather jacket on, and I thought something is askew here. And he was here for about a limited amount of time, a little longer perhaps. But I just wondered whether anything had been done with the phone.
I don't necessarily know that. I know they don't have to do anything to your phone at your house, Malin.
No,
they can. This is all stuff that can be done remotely, and it's not science fiction stuff either.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
Well, I'll let you go, and I know you have somebody, an interview or something here coming, maybe. So, I just wanted to check in with you and.
Well, thank you, Malin. I do appreciate it, and you have yourself a wonderful evening. All right.
Okay, Bob.
Bye now.
Appreciate you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye. Malin brings up the phone issue, and that reminds me of something. The recent testimony of Mark Klein, who is a former technician, a significant technician, with AT&T, testified to the United States Senate about domestic spying. He said... My name's Mark Klein. I used to be an AT&T technician for 22 years. What I figured out when I got there, he was talking about the secret room that AT&T maintains at 611 Folsom Street in San Francisco. He said, I figured out they were copying everything flowing across the Internet cables and the major Internet links between AT&T's network and other companies' networks, and it struck me at the time that this is a massively unconstitutional illegal operation. He said it affects not only AT&T's customers, but everybody, because those links went to places like Sprint, Quest, a whole bunch of other companies, so they're basically tapping into the entire Internet. Question, but isn't the government only monitoring suspected terrorists and not ordinary Americans? Klein, to perform what they say they want to do, which is look at international traffic, none of this makes any sense. These installations only make sense if they're doing a huge, massive, domestic dragnet on everybody in the United States. Question, shouldn't the telecoms trust that the Bush administration's requests are legal? Klein, these companies know very well what's legal and what's illegal. They've been dealing with this for decades. And it's a fact that Quest refused the NSA's approach because they weren't showing any legal justification for it, and they did the right thing and said no. Klein went on and said, what I'm here for is, it looked like a few weeks ago that the Senate bill which passed the Intelligence Committee would give immunity to the telecom companies, and that would probably put an end to the lawsuits. So I came here to lobby against giving retroactive immunity to the telecom companies and let the court cases proceed, and Congress should not interfere in that. The key sentence, these installations only make sense if they're doing a huge, massive domestic dragnet on everybody in the United States. I know we joke and carry on about Agent Fred, but you know what? Agent Fred is real. Agent Fred and Agent Paul and Agent George and Agent Sally and Agent Allison and Agent... And they all get up every day, catch a quick shower, grab a bite of breakfast, pour some too hot coffee down their throats, and off they go to the belly of the beast somewhere far under the ground next to the humming of the Uniblab 9000. And their job is to spy on you. And they gladly take a paycheck every 2 weeks to do it. And you're paying for their retirement. And you're paying for their health care. To spy on you. Because by spying, only by spying on you, can they keep you safe. Or so they say. Or so they say. And it's all a part of a piece. It all sort of fits together. It's the 8th day of November 2007. So what? It's the 8th day of November 2007, Bob. So what? Well, it's that time of year again. An FBI spokesman has come out and said that the FBI has obtained... Wow, this just makes my eyeballs ache. The FBI has obtained uncorroborated intelligence. Hang on those words, please. Uncorroborated intelligence. That means that they heard some old wino back in an alley somewhere talking about it. It's uncorroborated intelligence. Indicating that Al Qaeda and his wife Martha Qaeda and their brother-in-law, Sy Qaeda. Cicada, get it? Cicada. Chirp, chirp. Indicating that Al-Qaeda would like to strike shopping malls during the holiday shopping season. Two law enforcement sources confirmed there's intelligence dating back to August, all the way to August, that Al-Qaeda would like to attack malls in Los Angeles and Chicago. You know, the guys at Marshall Fields have got to be just thrilled to hear this. It's not bad enough that all the toys are poisonous. And you know that story, right? Sure you do. You're bound to have heard this by now. That the latest toy recall alert has to do with toys, of course, made in China, that have been pulled from shelves in North America and Australia. Why? Well, scientists found out that they contain a chemical, my God, that converts inside the digestive tract, it converts into the powerful date rape drug. You've heard about that before. The toy is called Aqua Dots. It's distributed by a Toronto-based Spin Master Toys. In Australia, they're called Bindies. I thought that was Steve Irwin's daughter's name. They were named Toy of the Year in Australia, John Fox, at an industry function earlier this year. They get sold anywhere and everywhere. General merchandise stores, over the internet, for use in arts and crafts projects. They're arrangeable into designs and fused together when sprayed with water. And the chemical coating on the beads, when it's ingested, metabolizes into gamma-hydroxybutyrate. It induces unconsciousness, it induces seizures, it induces drowsiness, coma, and yes, death. Two children in America have, that we know of, have ingested the things. They went into comas. They were ordered off store shelves. And it's a real bummer for the toy industry because Aqua Dots were proving to be one of the few bright stars of the toy selling season. And the because of all the poisonous Chinese toys, because we can't make toys of our own anymore in America, we've forgotten how, or maybe we have to pay for somebody's health care in order to make them here. The toy season, the holiday shopping season is, I'm sorry, did I say holiday? I meant Christmas, Reverend Wildman. Yeah, it's Christmas, the time when we celebrate Jesus' birth by giving toys to children who, when they swallow them, will convert them into a date rape drug so that some filthy, sickening Republican right-wing monster can... Oh, well. So this is not a good season for the toy industry. And retailers really, really must have loved it in Chicago and Los Angeles when the FBI puts out a statement saying, we have uncorroborated evidence that Osama bin Laden wants to blow up department stores in Los Angeles and Chicago. The hell's wrong with Dallas? Why Los Angeles and Chicago? Why not Savannah? Nashville? Why not Memphis? Why not St. Louis, Kansas City, Denver? Why is Seattle getting left out in the cold on this one? Nope. Uncorroborated evidence that it's Los Angeles and Chicago. See, this is the kind of stuff that Agent Fred comes up with. Bunch of losers. A spokesman for the FBI's Chicago field office, because, you know, rolls downhill, and he had to deal with it, Ross Rice, he said, I need to stress for the record, the evidence, the intelligence comes from uncorroborated sources, and it's nonspecific. Gee, Los Angeles and Chicago sounds pretty damn specific to me. Meanwhile, a senior counterterrorism official told Chicken Noodle News that the credibility of the information is very low, but it's being passed along out of an abundance of caution. And, of course, the intelligence is very raw. And it's meant to help law enforcement partners. Everybody's a partner now. First we were associates. We've made partner! And it's meant to help law enforcement partners to build on it if they have other relevant information. Well, you know, I got a wino under the bridge over here. War on Christmas? There's your war on Christmas. It's not, you know what a phony bunch of baloney the war on Christmas is. So, there we are. We've got the story that Malin brought to us about the people who are allowed to live in formaldehyde-poisoned trailers, but when they leave those trailers, FEMA officials are not allowed to so much as get near them because they know they're toxic, but it was okay for poor, displaced families to live in the toxic stuff. You got that going for you. We got poison toys. We got domestic spying out the gazoo. So naturally, you got the toy industry in a spiral with Christmas season coming. So naturally, it stands to reason that I would get another dispatch from the fine folks at the American Family Association detailing the war on Christmas. Dear Bob, the Plant City Living Center has told Mrs. Arnold, an 85-year-old grandmother in Florida, that federal law prohibits her from displaying any religious words or items associated with Christmas in the common area of her apartment building. According to the center, the Department of Housing and Urban Development issued a directive banning any religious symbols or religious words associated with Christmas. Under the guidelines issued by HUD, the elderly grandmother cannot place a small Christmas tree outside her door because that area is a commons area if it contains any religious symbols or religious words, even an angel. If the residents want to have a Christmas party in their community room, they cannot call it a Christmas party. The center says HUD directs residents not to use the word Christmas, but to use the word holiday. A Sunday school class from a church near Ms. Arnold's apartment comes every year to host a hanging of the greens and Christmas party for all the residents. She said the highlight of their Christmas party comes at the very end of the hanging of the greens. The hanging of the greens? Jesus, they're wanting to hang the greens now? I knew we had a noose problem, but this is getting out of hand. Comes at the end of the hanging of the greens when someone places the angel on top of their Christmas tree. Their tradition is now banned by the federal government. Well, I'll be dipped. You mean to tell me, Reverend Wildmon, that you spent all that money and all that time and took out the IRS code regarding advocacy from the pulpit by 501c3 religious organizations, and you flogged it, and you flailed it, and you flouted it, and you got it out and stomped on it, and you violated every last bit of it to get George W. Bush, a man of God, elected to the presidency so that you could finally take America back to its godly roots? And you mean to tell me that that man's Housing and Urban Development Department is out there making war on Christmas, too? Is nothing sacred, Reverend Wildmon? The federal government is becoming increasingly active in banning Christianity from the public square. Earlier, the National Park Service removed the wording, Laus Deo. What? Laus God? Oh, that's Latin for praise be to God, from a replica of the cap of the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. I didn't know it had a cap. I thought it was a toboggan. And the Veterans Administration banned the script of the flag-folding ceremony mentioning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You mean to tell me the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What about Abraham, Martin, and John? Huey, Dewey, and Louie? Groucho, Chico, and Harpo. Yes, that's right. They banned the script of the flag-folding ceremony from over 100 national cemeteries. Both of these were rescinded after AFA, American Family Association supporters, sent emails to proper authorities. Dang right. Yeah. But that's not nearly as good as having it all in Granny Arnold's own words. Let's see what Granny Arnold had to say. Granny Arnold, where are you?
Eddie,
religious symbols or religious words associated with Christmas should not be used. For example, the following items should not be on display: the nativity scene or any of the people represented in the
nativity scene
alone or together, the Star of David, angels, and so forth. This means no angel on your Christmas tree either. Reminded me of the Anne Frank story about how everything had to be so secretive during Germany. It just scared me a little bit. And things are changing so much. One of the girls, I said, when did we vote for all this? And I've never been very political, but I said, I don't remember any of this ever coming to a vote.
No, Granny, I guess you don't, do you? You don't remember it because you were out there listening to the American Family Association tell you how good and upright and pious and godly George W. Bush was. You weren't listening. How about that? You made the little Nazi reference, didn't you, Granny Arnold? You made that. Yes, you did. You referred to it. That reminds me of Anne Frank. Well, I guess you were too busy listening, Granny Arnold, to the American Family Association to maybe pay attention to the fact that George Bush's grandfather did business with the Nazis, Granny! No fool like an old fool. Isn't that the saying? She lives in a housing development. And that housing development likely has, it's in Florida, it probably has some Christians, it probably has some agnostics, some atheists, and some Jews. So, you know, since we're trying to promote peace on earth at the holiday season, maybe the best idea is to not allow people to beat other people over the head with their phonied-up, dummied-up, ginned-up holiday that half the people don't even understand in the first place, and I'm talking about the phony Christians, not anybody else, so that, you know, Mrs. Arnold's pals can't go, Mrs. Goldbaum and say, you know, Merry Christmas, Christ killer. Maybe that's behind the rule. Maybe it's not about keeping people from knowing about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's about trying to have a little peace in the development. A little peace in the building. But no, we try to have a little peace in the building, and somebody has to call Donald Wildman from the American Family Association and they're taking Christ out of the old folks' home. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. No. This just rings kind of hollow with me. We got people dying of formaldehyde poisoning. Along the Gulf Coast, people drowning in Mexico. Children going into comas because their little tummies converted a coating on a toy into a date rape drug. So what's the action alert I get from the American Family Association? That's right, Granny Arnold can't put the angel on her tree. Granny Arnold cannot put the imaginary depiction of an imaginary creature on her artificial tree. Never mind the real people dying of real disease, suffering real sickness, you know, things that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, actually worried about from time to time. Never mind that. Granny Arnold can't put her angel on her tree! Mother. And hissies over flag-folding ceremonies. And lay us Dio. Reverend Wildman, you and Dr. Dobson and all the other right-wing Jesus freakazoids gave us this freak. You danced in the streets on November the 5th, 2004, hollering about how you done had yourself a triumph of the values, voters. You did this, Reverend Wildmon, and your evil minions. You did this. Why are you griping about it now? You know, Granny Arnold might get sick and have to go to a hospital. If Granny Arnold gets sick and has to go to a hospital, she might be treated by a nurse who's been on duty for 16 blessed hours and can barely tell right from left. She's so exhausted. But you're not putting out any action alerts about that either, Brother Wildmon. You're putting out action alerts about how proud you are that Ford's profits are down another 9.5% because they persist in doing business with the Homer Sectionals. I'm like Sam Kennison. I want to be there when you get judged, buddy. I want to tug on the sleeve of the Almighty and say, let me throw him into the pit of hell. Let me throw him, please. Come on, let me. I want to. But you don't care about nurses being treated like crap when they're treating Granny Arnold. You don't care about people living in poisoned homes. You don't care about the nooses that are dadgummit, that was going to be a perfectly good rant, and I just screwed it up, that are proliferating all over this country. No, you don't care about any of that. You're worried about Laus Deo, a flag-folding ceremony, Ford's profits, and Granny Arnold. Oh, come on, Almighty, let me throw him into the pit, please. I want to see if I can. I want to see if I can bank him off the wall of purgatory and still get in with nothing but net. Let's go to the phones. Hey, who have I got?
This is Alan.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
All right. How about you?
I'm okay.
Good. I was wondering, was her Christmas tree in her apartment, or was it out like in the hallway?
No, she wanted to stick it in the hall, Alan. She wasn't content to have a Christmas tree in her apartment.
Oh, okay. That's just another example of how conservative fundamentalists want to shove it in your face.
Yeah, precisely.
Why can't you just keep it in her, put it in her window? She wants people from the outside to look in.
Seems simple enough to me.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No, that's a very good observation. Yeah, she wanted to put a little miniature phony fake Christmas tree with a miniature phony fake angel on it out in the hallway.
I thought that was totally ridiculous when she compared that to Anne Frank. I mean, Anne Frank was running. She was hiding from crazy.
Yeah, but that's the way these people are. They have a persecution complex, Alan. They actively believe that they're being persecuted.
Oh, yeah, they do that. I heard the Ku Klux Klan used to do that, too.
Yeah, we're getting persecuted for persecuting people. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You know, Anne Frank was hiding in closets. Anne Frank was hiding in attics. Anne Frank was on the run for her life. 6 million Jews and assorted liberals, gay folk, gypsies, political dissidents were gassed, shot, murdered, tormented, tortured, killed. But Granny Arnold thinks it's Nazi because she can't have a public display of her religion.
Yeah, we make laws in this country about the separation of church and state, so we won't be a victim of Christianity. That's the purpose of it. But she just doesn't understand it.
Well,
she can be any religion she wants, but we just don't want it shoved in our face. And that's what it is if she starts sticking it out in the hallway where other people.
Well, right. I mean, I imagine having seen these sorts of buildings, there's probably a couple of hundred units in this building, wouldn't you imagine?
Yeah, I imagine there's Islamic people living in there, and Buddhist, and people of all faiths.
Right. But, you know, the American Family Association wants her to be able to take her little plastic Christmas tree and whomp anybody over the head with it that she chooses to. and, I don't know, make them confess Christ or kill them? I mean, these people are weird, Alan.
Oh, yeah, very weird. Hey, your show is on the Internet, so I imagine people in France can hear it, right?
France, China, everywhere.
Oh, that's great, because if anybody's listening from France, I like to tell them to really beware with the conservative president. Beware of these voting machines that probably will be popping up in their next elections, and companies that's going to purge you off the voting list, because their president is buddy-buddies with our president. Tell them to be on guard and look out for what's going to happen. If any of them's listening, to please call in.
And they had their little state dinner the other night, Alan. And coming out of all those meetings and everything was what is being hailed as an agreement between Sarkozy and Bush that they're really going to twist the screws on Iran.
I wonder how many business deals Sarkozy's getting out of it.
Oh, I'm sure those negotiations are underway, too, as to who will control the Iranian oil once the dirty deed has been done.
Yeah. I heard on the news the other day that Russia has lost out on a lot of oil deals that they had with Iran pre-war. And they're pretty upset about that. I mean, not Iran, but Iraq.
Yeah.
Man, they're just turning this world into a nightmare. Gotta wake up. Wake up, people.
Indeed.
Alternative energy is the way to go.
Yeah, it is.
Get woke up.
And, but because we're short-sighted and not very good at that sort of thing, Alan, we will wait until the crisis is upon us, and that will increase the suffering manifestly.
Yeah.
Instead of going at it slow and easy and figuring it out as we go.
Do you remember that? I can't think of the name of that left wing Democrat liberal philanthropist in the United States that Republicans or conservatives like to make fun of. Can you think of his name? I can't think of it.
Oh yeah, FDR.
No, he's living now.
Oh,
so he likes to give to liberal causes, and he's very well to do.
Oh, George Soros.
Yeah. Now, I have one of his books, and in his book he says one of the worst things can happen to, I mean, this is not probably his exact words, but he says one of the worst things that can happen to a third world nation is to have resources that the United States and the bigger countries won't.
It's a kiss of death. Just like when George Bush gives a State of the Union address and says, we really love you and we want you to live in freedom, man, you know you're in trouble. You mentioned George Soros, though, Alan. He was talking at New York University earlier this week, and he said that the U.S. economic so-called slowdown is going to be a lot worse than the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, is expecting or predicting. The quote from George Soros is, "We have borrowed an awful lot of money, and now that bill is coming to us. I think we're definitely in for a slowdown that I think will be a bigger slowdown than Bernanke is seeing."
Yeah, I think George Soros knows what he's talking about, too. He also knows what he's talking about when he talks about fascism, because he grew up in that era in Europe. And he actually liked it for his life from fascists, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He went on, it wasn't him. Alan Greenspan, former Fed chairman, is also saying, this is going to get ugly.
Yep. Alan Greenspan, he admitted that on Democracy Now! About a month ago, he admitted that Bill Clinton was a conservative.
Yeah, the whole painting Bill Clinton as a liberal was nothing but, I mean, that was and is window dressing for right-wingers who are far too dim and dumb to do the actual research for themselves.
Yeah, and also what the media has done to us is they say that people are too far to the left, but they don't tell us that what used to be the left was communism. Communists, you never hear anybody talking about communism anymore.
Well, that's only because you're not listening to right-wing filth. They talk about it all the time, Alan. They talk about
somebody like Dennis Kucinich, he's really a centrist.
Yeah, he is. He's an FDR Democrat. That's where I don't get this, you know, this far left analogy to Dennis. I don't get it any more than I get it when I hear that oxymoron Flimball, when he starts calling Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton, when he starts calling her an ultra liberal. Huh? In what universe?
I hope she is. They always say that she's really a liberal in disguise. I hope she is.
Me too. But I don't think so. I mean, it violates my common sense to think so. So I don't know. You know, wait and see. Buy your ticket and take the ride. Right.
Yeah.
Chat room wants to know where you are, Alan.
I'm in Tennessee, just about to go into North Carolina, just about to drive through what they call the Gorge on I-40.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful area to drive through during the daytime.
I can imagine. Weather holding okay?
Oh, the weather's fine. Yeah. And the colors are fine, like I told you last time.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to you. Oh, the colors are just great this time of year.
Well, it's, enjoy it while it lasts. At some point in time, winter's going to kick in. It's getting a little cooler around here.
Oh, yeah. I don't look forward to driving in snow. That's the one thing I don't like driving in.
No, I couldn't do what you do, frankly. I just couldn't.
Snow and rain, because these things are hard to stop.
I'd imagine, well, empty or full, they're hard to stop.
Mm-hmm. I think it helps out that I used to drive a motorcycle before I drove a truck. And motorcycles, like the same thing, they're hard to stop. It's just a motor on two wheels.
Right.
You hit the brakes on those things, and on wet pavement, you slide a long ways.
It's that sensation of falling that my stomach just goes every time I think about it. But you know, you obviously do a good job. So above all, stay safe and keep in touch.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Alan.
Good evening. I'll be listening.
Thanks for pointing that out. The Anne Frank thing. That's very true.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's just disgusting to compare what happened to the Jews to things going on now.
Yeah, it is, and it shows how ignorant and mean spirited these people are.
Yep, that's true.
Thanks, Alan. You take care and stay safe. All right.
Bye. Thanks. Have a good day.
You too. Bye now. Our good friend Alan, the trucker, passing through the Gorge on I-40. Man, that's a long drive all the way across Tennessee on I-40. Tennessee's a mighty wide state, if you stop to think about it. So, I don't know. Is it just me, or is there a disconnect between people like folks like the American Family Association and a little word that I like to call reality? There's an absolute disconnect. You know, meanwhile, on November the 9th and the 10th, people who do get it, people who do understand, nurses and healthcare workers from across the country are going to travel to Kentucky and West Virginia to support the nurses striking against Appalachian Regional Healthcare System. They're going to start out at the corporate headquarters of ARH in Lexington and then go to the picket lines in Harlan Kentucky, Hazard, Kentucky, Middlesboro, McDowell and Williamson, Kentucky, and then on to Beckley and Hinton here in West Virginia. On Saturday, the caravan is going to participate in a food donation for the nurses on strike here in West Virginia. In the caravan is going to be nurses from New York, Ohio, Illinois, Washington, California. And they're all singing off the same page. And that page has to do with the quality of patient care. We have a law in this state that says nurses can't be compelled to work mandatory overtime. ARH doesn't care. They want to compel that anyway. And, you know, if you go in another, and this is just the small-minded, petty, evil nastiness of the gang that runs ARH. If you go into most hospitals or doctor's offices, nurses wear, colorful things. If they're dealing with little children, their teddy bear and little ducky prints and stuff on their scrubs. Well, in retaliation for the nurses having had the gall to stand up to their corporate masters, nurses at ARH are compelled to wear solid whites. Harder to keep clean. Bigger pain in the butt to launder. And more than anything else, it's a matter of saying to the nurses, you cannot dress as an individual. You will be part of the machine. Resistance is futile. AFL-CIO has donated $20,000 to the striking nurses. Ask Me has also donated money. The food drop in Beckley is also coming on the heels of a $10,000 food donation by the AFL-CIO that was given to the nurses striking in the Hazard Hospital. If you don't live in this region, you probably don't know that all of these hospitals were originally called miners' hospitals, and they were founded by none other than John L. Lewis, so that injured miners could finally begin getting decent health care. I think the rally in Beckley is scheduled for 1 o'clock on Saturday. John Sweeney, who's the president of the AFL-CIO, said, as the fight goes on over patient care, for patient care over a corporation's bottom line, the Kentucky Nurses Association and West Virginia Nurses Association nurses are taking a stand for working families. And, of course, that's true. Stands for working people always come from folks who know what it is to work. The corporate bosses, they don't take a stand for working families. They're too busy throwing $10 million parties for their 13-year-old daughters. They're too busy shopping for the next solid gold aluminum or solid gold umbrella stand or a shower curtain that costs $15,000 made out of. I don't know. Platinum? But that's where they concern themselves. People like Reverend Creflo Dollar concern themselves with the new Rolls-Royce or the new Gulfstream jet. Flush Flimball concerns himself with, maybe a rug made from an endangered species or something for his rec room. Or the $2,000 he drops on a meal in Manhattan. Working people concern themselves with the needs of working people. Thus has it always been. Thus shall it ever be. Right? You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to listener-supported independent media, the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to The Horn. You know how to reach the program, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I can't close my eyes and make it go away.
This is the Quality News Network. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told lawmakers on Capitol Hill that the U.S. economy does not appear headed for recession. In an address to the Congressional Joint Economic Committee, Bernanke cautioned that growth would be slow but positive and inflation higher. He also said that a housing slump would intensify and that consumer spending could slow. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the House will vote on a $50 billion war funding bill as soon as tomorrow. The amount is about one-fourth the size President Bush has requested for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Legislation would also require the president to start bringing troops home immediately and end combat by December of next year. In northern Italy, a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter crashed this morning, killing five U.S. military personnel and injuring another six. In Pakistan, President General Pervez Musharraf said that parliamentary elections will take place in mid-February. That's about 1 month later than planned. President Bush urged Musharraf to hold the polls on time and end martial law. Emergency rule could soon be lifted in the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili promised to end a 15-day stage of emergency after stating that presidential elections would be held in January instead of late next year. Huge petroleum reserves have just been discovered off the south shore of Brazil, according to the country's national oil company. The reserves could produce up to 8 billion barrels of light oil and natural gas, placing Brazil in the same league as the Arab states and Venezuela. According to the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton leads in the race for the Democratic nomination with 47%. A federal grand jury indicted former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick for tax evasion. Carrick's nomination to be the first head of Homeland Security was withdrawn when he was publicly accused of misconduct. A container ship struck one of the Bay Bridge towers yesterday, spilling 58,000 gallons of oil into San Francisco Bay. The accident occurred in heavy fog. Several beaches are now closed. Wildlife is threatened. Authorities working on cleaning up that spilled oil. And British authorities say they expect a 10-foot wall of seawater to hit England's eastern coast within the next 48 hours. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
A new research study out of London shows that women with higher levels of vitamin D show fewer age-related changes in their DNA. The American Journal of Clinical Nutrition says, however, that vitamin D cannot be determined as the direct cause of the slowing down of that aging process. A meeting will be held in Seattle this week to figure out why recent data shows some AIDS vaccines actually make a person more vulnerable to the disease. Researchers at Merck and Company say a type of common cold virus used to create the vaccine may have actually made subjects more susceptible to HIV. Many U.S. retailers reported disappointing sales last month, a retail analyst explaining that milder than normal weather has decreased consumers' interest in winter apparel. Apple's iPhone goes on sale for the first time in Britain and Germany tomorrow. People already lining up outside stores to get theirs. They want the popular phones despite the fact that they'll only work on certain networks. Light sweet crude oil trading at $95.46 a barrel, gold at $837.50. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 34 points to end at 13,266. The NASDAQ down nearly 53 points at 2696. S&P 500 down 1 point at 1474. And there's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
So it looks like Rudy Giuliani won't have a place in his administration should he, by some incredible stupid mistake on the part of the American people and or the usual shenanigans with electronic voting machines make him president of the United States. I don't think there's going to be a seat at the cabinet table for Bernie Kerik. Being how he's been indicted and all for tax evasion. Maybe some other stuff too. But then again, you know, I threw that one little one-liner out back in the first hour, and it sort of didn't go anywhere. But really, can you imagine a Democratic nominee, Dennis Kucinich, debating Rudy Giuliani and looking at Giuliani and saying, you know, I argued in favor of workplace protections for folks like you, Rudy. It's time that America afforded full constitutional rights to everyone in this country, gay, straight, or like you, Rudy, a crossdresser. Rudy'd probably have to have one of his thugs come up and just work Kucinich over at that point, don't you think? Pat Robertson comes out and says, "Don't worry about his pro-choice stance. Don't worry about him being all for abortion and everything. And don't worry about anything. You vote for him anyway, you right-wing knuckle dragon religion industry minions. Vote for him anyway." Pat Robertson. Oh, my God. Pat Robertson. And, of course, you know, there was the whole thing with Jerry Falwell after 9/11. Well, you know, the ACLU has got a lot to answer for here. Yeah, that and the gay people, they caused 9/11. And this guy is the Democratic hopeful or Republican hopeful? What am I thinking? Ooh. I think I'm a little bit addled right now. It's about 9 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, and my beloved West Virginia Mountaineers are teeing it up tonight against the hated Cardinals of Louisville. So you'll have to forgive me if I get a little bit distracted from time to time. Somebody shoot me a score once in a while, okay, please? By the way, speaking of Dennis, if you haven't gone over to EsquireMag.com, EsquireMag.com, there is a great, great article on him by Scott Raab, R-A-A-B. Just load the page, scroll down, you'll find it. And in that article, it points out the fact that Dennis faced down a mob hit on him at one point in time. That takes guts. And for all these people who say, oh, you know, Democrats want to get your guns, you know, when the threat was out against Kucinich when he was mayor of Cleveland, he had one. So I think he understands why people might want a firearm in the house. Ugh, brother. So, you know, tonight we've had poison toys. Tonight we've had the who gives a damn attitude of the Christian right. We've had poisoned houses, poisoned trailers in the Gulf Coast region. We've had indifferent federal employees who don't give a damn and are more than happy to see people live and suffer and die in those trailers rather than getting the region back up on its feet where they can live in real housing, and yet won't walk into those trailers for fear of themselves becoming ill. All of these things we've had, and yet there is some threat, and it's a legitimate threat, that we may, in November 2008, wind up with more of the same. Another god-awful Republican president. That is, after all, what putting Mukasey in the AG's office is all about, because he's a Giuliani crony. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? I've got you. Do you have me? Okay. Well, try back. A new poll is hitting from the fine folks at Chicken Noodle News. You can find this over at thinkprogress.org, Center for American Progress. Support for the war in Iraq has now officially dropped to 31%. 68% against the war is a new record. And yet only one quarter of Americans believe the U.S. is winning the war. Well, duh. We're not winning the war. That means one quarter of Americans are still functionally insane. Looks like America's catching up to Dennis Kucinich, doesn't it? Let's go to the phones. Hey, who've I got? Okay, I've got all the right buttons going here. Yeah, everything's working on my end. Are you there? Hello? Okay. Oh, someday I'll have a producer. And by the way, just in case you were wondering, the American people, by about 63%, are opposed to airstrikes or any form of war on Iran. 73% oppose using ground troops as well as airstrikes. Let's try this again. Hi, who have I got?
This is Kate again.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Hey, Kate.
You got the right button now?
I've had the right button all along. It just wasn't connecting, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, we've been making jokes about Agent Fred. I don't know. This is not funny. So before I get hung up on again, I wanted to just interrupt your stream while you're watching the football game. That is football, right? You guys are talking about?
Yeah, but I'm not watching. I can't watch.
No, I know. I'm teasing.
I'm chained to the oar here. I'm just rowing.
stroke. I wanted to back up to your talking about the lights going out and how we're $1,300 or $2,000 behind and all that. It sort of minimizes the problem when you say we're worried about keeping your lights on. I think it's a little bigger than, I would like to put into people's minds that it's not about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping the mics hot. Because if I just have this vision of just logging on someday and it's dead silent. And that's very freaky to me. I wake up worrying about it every morning. I know I should probably put my mind to better use. But anyway, and about the holiday season coming up and people not having the money, well, if we wouldn't go out and buy all that Chinese junk, we could put some extra money into the horn instead of doing elaborate stuff for Christmas that's going to kill our kids and, poison the atmosphere. Wouldn't it be more prudent to consider our right to have free access to information exchange rather than having a big Christmas this year?
Well, that's what's going to happen here, Kate.
Yeah. I don't know what about Christmas. I don't shop and I don't do Christmas and I don't know anything about this except that people go bananas and then they're broke until March and piss and moan and whine and cry, and I just think, there's everybody, including me, has $5 extra. Wayne's story about the check from the person in the audience who said, I did without popcorn this week and here's $5, that just warmed me. I just had tears in my eyes like Wayne did. It was just wonderful, and I thought if we could just all send in an extra $5, because someday the mics are not going to be turned on, and we're going to lose this, every bit of it. That's not even including the new computer that you two techies are building this weekend. We're just going to lose it.
Yeah, and we're not talking. Look, Kate, if I may, if I was to sit here and say what my real wish list is.
Right.
That I want to be able to send a check out every month to all the hosts who and the bloggers and the moderators and in some way compensate people for all the time. I mean, Churchill just said all I can offer you is blood, sweat, toil, and tears.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and toil going into this. Well, I don't think we're at tears yet. But I do. I think
I am. Because it's just, we can't, without, to pay everybody, you need corporate money or something, bigger money than you can get from the audience, I would think. And it's just like, and now playing catch up, we're never going to catch up.
Yeah, we're $1,000 to the bad still.
Mm-hmm. And you just can't play catch up.
And that will eventually come along and bite us in the butt.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. And so if everybody needs to celebrate peace on earth, goodwill to boys and girls, send some extra money, just dig a little bit deeper and do without a little something, and just send it into the horn. And I noticed on the webpage the address, there's the buttons, the rock, scissors, paper, whatever.
Yeah.
But the PayPal button, but there's the address to send it in to send a check in. I couldn't find it anywhere. And I thought that perhaps, I have it, but I thought that perhaps it should be in a more obvious place if it's on there. And
I thought maybe we had gotten to that. We've been talking about it for a while, but maybe it's just not there yet. But you remind me. I mean, if you don't care, I'll take a minute, Kate. And it's head on 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, Eisenhower, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, P as in Paul, M as in Mary, B as in boy, PMB, personal mailbox, 318 Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, West Virginia, 25801.
Now, if
John Fox is telling me to look at the top of the blog.
Okay.
Let me just pardon my clacking for a second.
I probably missed it. It just, but if it wasn't obvious right away at first glance, it's sort of like reading a resume. If you don't get it in the first 20 seconds, you don't have a chance. So,
oh, he says it's on the contact page. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whatever. It's there. I'm just concerned about us losing our freedom for information exchange, and everybody else who you want to give money to are doing this for love and fame and fortune, right? They're doing it out of love and for what they're doing, and we just need more money, folks. That's it.
You know how hard it is for me to talk about this kind of thing, and I appreciate you bringing the issue up.
That's why I keep dragging it out and throwing it up against the wall, because you hate doing it, and I love when you have to do it. Everybody needs to do something they don't like to do once a day, you know.
Sure, and the thing is, I mean, it's month to month at this point.
Yes.
You know, we were trying to build up a little bit of a cushion. But things like, you know, Verizon frying the Comrex right after we started raising funds, you know, that sucked $700 right out of the account. It's frustrating in the extreme. And again, we're not, you know, you mentioned the computer we're building. We're not building this because we're bored or because, you know, this would just be nicer to have. The thing that we're running on now has run for 2 years, and given what it is, it's on its last legs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're under a crunch to get this thing built. And we keep talking about things that we want to add to the functionality of the horn.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it without help. Now, I'm out there banging on doors, having meetings with people who supposedly know about venture capital and that kind of stuff. I'm trying to take the monkey off the listeners' backs.
Well, nobody said you weren't.
I know. But I mean, I want it understood. But right now, this is the only way we can survive. It just is.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I keep bringing it up, because the mics are not going to be hot someday. Also, I wanted to tag on to the story about one of the reasons I read today that they used that drug, that glue, that compound, that chemical, was that it's several thousand dollars cheaper by the ton to buy it than it was to use the original chemical that they had that's prescribed for that glue that's not toxic. And so they did it as a... The news says it's been done as a cost-saving measure. But every time this happens, I just keep thinking that the jurists are here. I mean, I've worked in places where, you know, like they used Coke bottles and on the door, when manufacturing cars, when you put the door panel on, you put the Coke bottle in it, nobody can find that noise when they buy it new. I think that there's people like, and waiters who spit in the soup of rude customers. I mean, I just feel like karma's coming back to bite us in the butt. We're getting it from all sides, and if we just shut up and go home and be...
And it's part of an overall piece, Kate. You know, somewhere there is a corporation, and in that corporation there's a board of directors, and it's a CEO and a CIO and a CFO and a COO.
Mm-hmm.
All these C people.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a decision. Just as Ford Motor Company in the past made a decision that X number of people will die in Ford Pintos from fiery crashes, but it will be cheaper for us to pay for those wrecks than it will be for us not to sell the Pinto.
Yep.
Pure cost-benefit analysis.
That's right. And the big ag company in Fresno, California, who allowed the, I don't know how to pronounce it, like Fostrin or something like that. It's a pest that's extremely toxic pesticide to be sprayed the fields, and it got into the denim, the legs of the denim trousers that the kids were wearing, and that was back in the mid-90s, I think, and the several of the kids just nearly died from wearing that pesticide because they didn't have the resistance that adults do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just a bunch of little brown kids, you know, screw it. They could go make more anyway in the shacks that we give them. So, well, anyway.
But no, it goes on. This is a sort of drilling down of morality, isn't it, Kate? Because there's that board and there are those officers and there's somebody out there who has attended the annual meeting of the shareholders who said, yay, look it, we're saving thousands and millions of dollars by using this instead of that.
Killing all them bugs out in the fields, but don't matter if the little brown kids get dead, it don't matter.
Yeah, it goes back to, this all started, if you recall, and I'm proud of the fact that I was kind of ahead of the curve on it. It all started with toothpaste.
Oh, yeah.
And there's right. One chemical that you use that costs money, but mm-hmm. there's another one you can use that's propylene glycol that's an antifreeze component, I'm sure you're aware,
mm-hmm.
and it will kill you stump dead.
Yeah.
And nasty yeah. death, too, because it shuts down your kidneys.
Yeah. So you hurt before you get stone dead.
Yeah.
Well,
but that's okay because, you know, we're all about the free market, and the free market says it's better to kill little children while they're brushing their teeth than it is for the shareholders to get, you know, a quarter of a penny instead of an eighth of a penny per share profit this quarter.
That's right. And we don't want them kids growing up because, you know, them illegals take all of our health care money and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we're literally killing children over fractions of pennies.
Yes, yes. And the same with the Gulf Coast. Malin said, if I had to live in that, I would die. People wouldn't, you know, people are already dying. I got a call from my friend in Chicago who's come down with a tremendous, tremendous infection that is like only 2% of the population have it, and she's on a broad-spectrum antibiotic, and her doctor said, no, you couldn't have gotten that infection in Mississippi. You'd have to be long-term exposed. And she said, I have been. And so, and then I wonder about my black mold cough. I don't know how that's going to, you know, I mean, it's just going to go on and on and on. And it's going to probably get worse this winter when I go back. So, whatever. So, I thought I heard you say that, that Wayne was going to be on.
No, I didn't.
Are we taking... Oh, you were just going to talk about the nurse strike.
Right.
Oh, okay, I was looking forward to hearing Wayne. I thought he was...
Well, if he's listening, you probably will now. You've just conjured him.
Wayne, you better call. Yeah, I could conjure up people. And I wanted to say, Alan, if you haven't hit the gorge yet, I just wanted to say, cool, I'm sending my road angels with you. You take good care out there. The storm was blowing in, and it was going to get the northeast, but maybe not Tennessee tonight. So, take care out there, and watch that intersection, boy. So anyway, I'm going to let you go because you had a really good rant going, but I thought I better get in before Wayne came on. So, Wayne, you better pick up that phone. Bob's got all the buttons squared away now. You know, I want to hear Wayne. And it's cool that whatever you guys have done, that when you punch the button, I can hear the broadcast. It didn't used to be that way.
That was...
And Wayne mentioned...
That was mm-hmm. the hard work and skull sweat of the inimitable John Fox. He has the profound power. I mean, this goes to show you just how good John is. He has the power to engineer this studio from 15,000 miles away.
And another day.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only is he not on the same page,
he's barely on the same planet.
Yeah, right. And if you're talking to him on Sunday evening when you're working on the computer, he won't even be in the same week. So,
yeah,
you
right.
Know,
and
John
that's exactly what happened. And it was just a matter of sort of a process of elimination. But John knew what to eliminate.
Yeah.
Me,
yeah.
I was just kind of sitting here with my little finger in my ear, going, I don't know.
Well, you guys rock. It worked. It worked. It worked. If my Verizon phone would just work. So anyway, they got the button squared away, babe. Call in.
Yeah, and just to bring it full circle, those are the little miracles that happen.
Yes, yes, Absolutely. Absolutely. Every day. Every single day. And it's obvious on everybody's shows. Everybody. It's obvious. And we are so blessed with this gift that we have, that you guys have given us. And I just hope people can see through and not wait until the 28th of November so we can come up $800 short. Please.
Yeah, frankly, it would be nice to catch up with that September 1000 so we can just go ahead and pay for this computer and I can I can quit sweating about that.
I know. Well, I worry way too much, but maybe it's not all for naught. You know, it's something about Susan and I sending pixie dust and angels and stuff. Anyway, you all have a good evening, and I'm in the ether. I'm listening to this tonight. Okay.
Hey, stay away from that ether. It'll make you sick.
And thank you for taking my call. It's such a pleasure.
Oh, thank
bye.
You for taking my... Oh, later.
Out of here, bye.
Bye. Kate. I'm glad she does bring it up because it really does help. Because... like I've said before, we know what the audience size is, and it is substantial. And there are, and then folks who can't, man, I understand. And for those of you who do, you're the reason we're here. If you can and you haven't, please join in the fight. Please. And that's all I'll say. Kind of hard to transition out of that, and I'm watching the chat room. Mountaineers scored again. Somebody give me a score, for heaven's sakes. But no, there's so much more stuff out there, and some of it's some of it's serious, and some of it's silly. You remember we had the story I mentioned a couple of nights ago? Okay, we'll go to the phones. Hate to keep people holding. Hi, who have I got?
Hi, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Okay, great. Had one question.
Yes, sir.
Want to make a donation?
Yes.
And I want to find out, I went on the website and had a PayPal.
Yeah.
And I clicked on the link. Is there any way to get just like is there an email address that I can send through? I have a PayPal account, but I prefer to send it to email address.
We've just got it set up as it is there because it goes straight to our PayPal account.
Okay.
If you want to do it by mail, there's a mailing address if you want to just do it that way.
Okay. Is there any way to get like a PayPal in terms of like the email address that you use? I mean, could you just send it to me if I sent an email address that I can send the information to? I'm just kind of weary of like using PayPal sometimes.
Oh, I know. I understand it, and a lot of people are. That's why we do the by-mail thing. I frankly know little or nothing about how the whole thing works. It's another little bit of that marvel that is John Fox. He took the data for the account and set it up. Okay. John's telling me now. If you'll email John Fox, he'll square it for you.
Okay.
And his email is... John@headonradionetwork.com. John@headonradionetwork.com.
Okay. Yeah, some money coming.
Well, bless your heart, Gary. I thank you very kindly. It's it's a blessing to us.
Yeah. Okay. All right, great.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. How cool. John@headonradionetwork.com. And you know, we just thank you. We thank you. No, Department of the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement folks, the ICE people who destroy families for being brown and speaking the wrong language and being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah, those guys. Well, it turns out that there will be an investigation of the whole sordid affair. They still haven't fired, what's her name, Julie Myers, who gave out the award to the guy in blackface in the striped prison garb with the dreadlocks and the chains. Still haven't gotten around to firing her yet. But a senator is going to launch an investigation into the whole stinking mess. Why, stone-spined Democratic senator would that be, Bob? Would that, well, sorry, no, it's Susan Collins from Maine. One of those so-called moderate Republicans. She said she expects the report within a week. She said, I've directed my staff on the committee to question Julie Myers about exactly what happened and what her response was. Because, you see, Myers' confirmation is still pending in the Senate. Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel. So there's that. Thanks, stern, stone-spined Democrats. Thanks for waiting for a Republican to do it for you. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is where America's heading. This is the nightmare that we're in that we can't wake up from, and we can't scream loudly enough to wake ourselves up. We've already mentioned the poisonous FEMA trailers and the FEMA employees who will not set foot in them once they're empty, because it's okay for refugees from Katrina to get sick, but not okay for FEMA workers. Well, it gets worse, because the FBI is investigating allegations that a New Orleans area public works department supervisor, you know, a boss, decorated his office, and I don't mean temporarily, and I don't mean for Halloween. I mean, it was there every day, all the time, with two nooses, a bullwhip, and a dartboard with a black man at the bullseye. Hey, hot diggity. Terrence Lee said, I've been in this department 6.5 years, and when I got to the department, they were there. He said he was just fed up with the racist symbols in his white superintendent's office at a sewage lift station in Jefferson Parish. He also said, I know I'm going to get fired, but I have to stand up. Wow. You know, that's the kind of guts that America's built on. You stand up, you fight the fight, no matter what, because you know the difference between wrong and right. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that kind of courage and that kind of leadership in the Congress? The superintendent's name is Bill Hartline. And they're investigating. Two nooses, a bullwhip, and a dartboard with a black man's face on the bullseye. Wow. Just wow. But Terrence Lee had the guts to stand up and say, it can't be this way anymore. It can't be this way in America anymore. Then there is Dianne Feinstein, appearing on Wolf Blitzer's program, where he lobbed softballs at her so she could explain why she's stabbing America in the back by foisting off Rudy Giuliani's crony as Attorney General.
You will support the confirmation of Michael Mukasey to be the next Attorney General that effectively guaranteed that he'll not only get out of the committee, but eventually will be confirmed as the Attorney General, even though he's taking what some are calling a wishy-washy position on waterboarding or torture. Why do you believe he should be confirmed?
Well, first of all, because he is a bright, independent figure. While Steve...
Huh? What? He's a bright, independent figure? No. When your 8-year-old can comprehend and explain Boyle's gas laws, that's a bright figure. when your six-year-old can put the variables through the quadratic equation and come out with a parabola, that's a bright figure. A guy who looks up and says he doesn't know if waterboarding is torture. Now, Diane, honey, that ain't bright. That's just mean and evil.
The national security law presided over some of those trials. In the 172 pages of written questions and answers, the independence of thought comes through. He's not going to wear two hats like Gonzalez did. He'll wear one hat, and that will be an independent attorney general.
I don't care about hats. This ain't the Easter parade, Senator Feinstein. He's a crony of Rudolph Giuliani, and you think he's going to be independent?
For a department which right now, today, is in disarray. 23 out of 93 U.S. attorneys are not filled with permanent, confirmed U.S. attorney.
They'd be filled with right-wing hacks. What does it matter? Oh, God.
The 10 top positions are vacant. What I believe...
That's not because of Mukasey. That's because the Bush administration has gutted and destroyed every last shred of moral and ethical integrity in the Department of Justice. They left. Ugh.
This president would do if Mukasey was failed to be confirmed, was put in an acting, also make recess appointments. That would bring about diminished transparency, diminished congressional oversight, and would not be for the benefit of the department. So this...
Oh, shut up, you old windbag. He is going to do those kinds of things no matter what you do. Do you not understand this? It is so frustrating to watch these mugwump Democrats pretending as if their opposition was somehow playing fair. Senator Feinstein, you nasty thing. These folks don't fight by the Marcus of Queensberry rules. They stomp feet. They kick groins. They kidney punch. They gouge eyes. That's how they fight. And you... Wait a minute. I'm getting my gloves on. Make me sick.
This is a strong, independent figure. I'd be happy to talk about my views on torture if you want.
Well, no, see, honey, your views on torture really don't matter anymore. Because you have foisted upon the people of the United States of America a man who doesn't think waterboarding is torture. A man who thinks if the president wants it done, it can't be illegal. So when he approves torture... When more torture stories come out, when, as the ACLU did just a couple of days ago, another torture memo comes to light, you will not be well heard to say, goodness me, I thought he was a strong, independent figure. What kind of fool are you, Diane Feinstein? Who do you think you're dealing with?
I'll be happy to discuss my position on torture.
It doesn't matter, Senator. It doesn't matter, because you have endorsed Mukasey's position on torture. Shame on you, lady. Shame on you. She talks about the empty spaces out there that haven't been filled, U.S. attorneys, the top 10 spaces, blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently there's enough. There's enough for prosecutions. A 44-year-old New York jazz musician got stuffed for 15 years in the stir yesterday on a charge that he agreed to help train Al-Qaeda fighters in hand-to-hand combat. Yeah, I said jazz musician. Oh, man, you know, if you'll just switch over to a diminished seventh and lean on it, man, you'll drive them crazy. The guy's name is Tariq Shah. He's a martial arts instructor. He's a jazz musician. Pled guilty back in April to one count of conspiring to support Al-Qaeda. They dropped another of the terrorism charges in exchange for it. Now, bear in mind, before you think that I've gone completely around the bend and I'm arguing in favor of people who want to work with Al-Qaeda, who work with Al-Qaeda, who are teaching Al-Qaeda people how to play in the pentatonic scale with the dark Ionian tunings. Before you think I do that, no. Because, see, there's a twist here. This is why I mentioned it after the Dianne Feinstein thing about, oh, we all have enough U.S. attorneys. We got enough U.S. attorneys, lady, trust me. Because we got U.S. attorneys out there making crap up. Because, you see, the oath that he took, supposedly, he took before an FBI agent who was pretending to be an Al-Qaeda operative. Because in this entire case, there is not a single criminal element. There's nothing but FBI agents. Sorry, there just aren't. There's no Muslim pizza delivery driver. No. There's just an FBI agent who approaches this guy and says, will you swear an oath to teach the stork maneuver to an Al-Qaeda operative if we send it to him? And this guy goes, okay, you're under arrest. Prosecutors said Shah wanted to attend militant training camps in Afghanistan before pledging support to Sheikh Osama and Al-Qaeda deputy leader Ayman al-Zawahiri during one of many taped meetings with the undercover agent. Wow. Now, another man, Brooklyn bookstore owner Abdul Rahman Farhan, was sentenced in April to 13 years for conspiring to transfer funds to militant groups in Afghanistan and Chechnya. He actually did something. This guy? 15 years for saying, yeah, okay, I'll teach him a roundhouse. And diminished minor chords. Meanwhile, out in far South Dakota, Representative Ted Clout was convicted on 4 counts of second-degree rape. Yep. Former Republican state legislator talked his foster daughters into allowing him to rape them for the purpose of harvesting eggs. And performing breast and vaginal exams. He tried to argue that his actions weren't rape, wait for this, because the girls consented to breast exams, ovary checks, and vaginal stimulation. They thought Clout was helping them make money by selling their eggs. Thousands of emails to one of the victims that were created by Clout were introduced into evidence, where he pressured her to let him examine her. Now see, this case has a real live, honest-to-Jesus criminal in it, as compared to the prosecution of this jazz musician in New York. Want to bet he'll ask for probation? The conviction carries 25 years per count. He was convicted on four. He faces, if they are sentenced consecutively, 100 years in prison. Guess what? They will be served concurrently. I'll bet you. And he'll be out in 10. While a jazz musician from New York who was stupid enough to deal with an undercover FBI agent said, yeah, sure. I mean, because the FBI walks in, hey, Tariq, you want to go fight for Sheikh Osama? Power to the Muslims, man. Okay, sure. Can I bring my guitar? Well, okay. Okay. Well, you ready to take the oath? Mm-hmm. Do you promise to always support Sheikh Osama and Ayman al-Zawahiri, so help you Allah? I do. You're under arrest. Holy... Welcome to America. If you haven't committed a crime, just wait. The FBI will make one up. Let's go to the phones. Who we got?
Good evening, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Reasonably well. And you?
I'm getting along, I reckon.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot to say in light of what has already been said. And the only thing I can say is this. In this country, it appears as though greed has replaced good, that economic efforts to redistribute wealth has replaced morality. And our government seems to be pretty insensitive to the whole scheme of things.
Well, Jim, we...
Washington today with several members of Congress and their staff and things of that nature. I just ask them how in the world, you know, they expected to come out of this. Of course, I received no real cogent answer, and I thank the cordially because there's no point getting a 10-8 with them. But I did tell them this. I said, are you familiar with a movie called The Last Emperor? No. Well, I said, it was about China around the turn of the century and about the Forbidden City. And I said, you are becoming exactly what happened in the enclave of the Forbidden City. You are rapidly becoming a play with no audience.
Yeah, that makes some sense. But the question is, do they care?
I don't think they really do. I don't think that they are really aware, or at least aware to the point that they would be willing to do something about it or try to. I don't know. I have worked with these people before, but that was 10 years ago. And there just appears to be a sense of hopelessness and lack of ability to do anything about it. And that's basically what they'll tell you. They'll say, you know, there's nothing I can do. Or there's just no way. And I tell them, I said, you know, I support you every 2 and every 6 years. And I said, I'd appreciate your consideration to my request. And, you know, I asked about certain bills and things like that. And they asked me, well, what's the bill number? And I said, well, I think you ought to know that, don't you? I said, this is your business, isn't it? Your place to know about certain bills and their numbers. But they asked me to do their homework for them. And after dealing with that, I say thank you very much. Have a nice day. Happy holidays. And I just get off the phone. It's just, it's almost pointless, you know?
Well, I said it several times last night in regard to West Virginia and in regard to working families. I don't have any representation in this state. I don't have a governor. I don't have a congressman. I don't have senators. I don't have state senators, delegates, city councilmen, county commissioners, dog catchers, county surveyors. I don't have anybody who represents me. And it's not just me, Jim. It's a whole lot of us.
Well, you know, it's really funny. These people work so hard to get there. devote most of their efforts to keeping their positions and to keeping their prerogatives and their privileges and things of that nature. And they might pay lip service every 2 and 6 years to their constituents or see returns, but it's a very sad state of affairs because, I mean, it's almost as if our government is becoming, well, and I guess they're trying to purposely make it this way, or certain people in our government have tried to emasculate it to the point that it can be shrunk to the size of a small organism that can be drowned in a bathtub. I realize that may not make a whole lot of sense.
No, that's straight out of Grover Norquist's mouth, Jim. That's what they wanted. But what I don't understand about these little creatures is, don't they understand that they go down the drain too?
Well, that's the short-sightedness of it. But, you know, that's been repeated throughout history. People will always say things are going to get better. I mean, they said that in the Weimar Republic. They said that after Hitler became chancellor, we'll use him and then we'll get rid of him. And, oh, they said that in so many cases in history. And I'm afraid the one who's going to be used turns out to be the big user. And the ones who have not paid attention and really thought seriously about some of the problems we see in this country or their country have been fed into the meat grinder. And I wish I had more optimistic things to say, but I really just don't.
Well, but, you know, if you're optimistic in these kind of circumstances, Jim, you're delusional. And you're not. So
well, I've very much been a realist. And what I really hate to see is the government that I work for so long and have had such great respect for. And it's particularly painful to me to see what's happened to it. And just in the past 10 years, or the past 20 years. So you see, I belong to that generation of people who were called into public service like John Kennedy. And I see what has happened between then and now. And in terms of measurable outcomes, it's not good at all. Not good at all.
No.
Listen, I know you probably have Wayne wanting to call or something.
No, it's time for me to wrap it up, Jim.
Oh, God, I forgot. Excuse me.
No worries. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
That's our note, but that's it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And that is it. Thank you all. Thank you in the chat room. Thank you on the phones. Your emails, sitting there and screaming at me in the speakers even. Thank you. Thank you to John Fox. Like I said, you get a pretty good idea of the stuff that goes on here. From Australia to West Virginia to make this go, wow. Thank you to our IT consultant, the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold. Godbold Computer Services. He's on his way with a brand new show and a fascinating guest. Coming up as well, John Fox, all foxed up at midnight Eastern Time. Many thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. Kept liberal talk alive via the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org, when everyone said, wow, you know, it can never happen. And continues to do that. If you value what we do here, you value Ben Birch. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf said that parliamentary elections will take place in mid-February. That's about a month later than planned, President Bush urging Musharraf to hold the polls on time and end martial law. Emergency rule could be lifted soon in the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili promised to end a 15-day state of emergency after stating that presidential elections would be held in January instead of late next year. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said today the House will vote on a $50 billion war funding bill as soon as tomorrow. The amount is about one-fourth the size President Bush has requested for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. In northern Italy, a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter crashed this morning, killing five U.S. military personnel and injuring another six. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke told lawmakers on Capitol Hill that the U.S. economy does not appear headed for recession. In an address to the Congressional Joint Economic Committee, Bernanke cautioned that growth would be slow but positive and inflation higher. He also said that a housing slump would intensify and that consumer spending could slow. Huge petroleum reserves have just been discovered off the south shore of Brazil, according to the country's national oil company. Those reserves could produce up to 8 billion barrels of light oil and natural gas, placing Brazil in the same league as the Arab states and Venezuela. A federal grand jury indicted former New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik for tax evasion. Kerik's nomination to be the first head of Homeland Security was withdrawn when he was publicly accused of misconduct. In California, military police from the National Guard cleared of criminal charges after having been accused of stealing donations meant for victims of Southern California fires. An investigation showed the soldiers did take